Next on BYUSN, college basketball season now over. We're already looking ahead to next year, and guess what? BYU is all over the way too early top 25 polls. Are we buying the hype? Plus, what would have to happen before you would actually believe that Mark Pope could legitimately leave BYU for the vacant Kentucky job?
Former BYU big man Eric Mika shares his thoughts on BYU's first year in the Big 12, Jackson Robinson's NBA decision, and his expectations for the Cougars next year. And Top 5 Tuesday features BYU's best Big 12 road wins from year one in the league.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, April 9th. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jimmer Fredette's second biggest fan, Jerem Jordan.
Trey Young has a podcast, and he put out his starting five of college basketball all time.
This is
It featured
fantastic.
One James Taft Fredette, yeah. Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Chris Webber, and Shaq. Not bad. Jimmer commented, said, I wouldn't mind playing with this group, huh? Of course, that'd be awesome. Jimmer Fredette in this group is pretty awesome. Trey Young, randomly, I don't know the story. We need to ask Jimmer next time he's on. Trey Young, as he was coming out of Oklahoma, had footage of him on social media of shooting in a church gym somewhere, I think in Denver,
yes.
With Jimmer. Did Jimmer take Trey Young to his church?
Getting that workout
they shot
in.
Around?
Getting that workout in the Steak Center.
That's pretty fun. Hopefully, yeah. They didn't have the NBA lines at the Steak Center, I can guarantee that.
If all five of those players are in their college prime, who's leading that team in scoring?
That would be one Kevin Durant. maybe Steph. But, like, yeah, who's getting – I would think Shaq would still dominate, though. Like, Shaq was unbelievable. All those guys, unbelievable. That's a pretty fun list to be in.
I love that, without fail, every March, Jimmer Fredette highlights will overwhelm my timeline on a day-to-day basis because of how influential he was in the game and how impactful he was. He was so unique. And so, yeah, without fail, every February, March, as we push towards March Madness, like, Jimmer Fredette was a vibe in 2011.
He gives a lot of...
He was a bucket.
He gives a lot of 6'2 white kids hope, Spence.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I wish we could say the same. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Good evening, Cougar basketball fans.
We kind of have homegrown fans everywhere in this country, and so what an incredible blessing. We talk about urgency and faith.
Fast break, run to perfection. Give me that.
I think we're just excited to keep going.
You know who else is excited to keep going? UConn. They won their sixth national championship last night. Holy cow. Back to back for the first time since Florida did it in 2006 and 2007.
It was boring. Domination.
They won every game by, what, at least 14 points?
It was an average of 22.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. The best overall point differential in the six games in the history of the NCAA tournament run. Second best, Mark Pope's Kentucky
96.
Team in 1996. So, yeah, the national championship game was a little boring. It's cool to see UConn repeat. But, again, you get to the end of the game, and it doesn't take very long before these way too early top 25
it's
polls
too early.
Start
it's
to
perfect.
Show up.
Too early would have been during March Madness.
Well, I mean, 2 minutes after the game, it's like, all right, let's look ahead to next year.
What? Yeah.
Who's going to be the best team? Is it going to be UConn again?
Might as well.
Surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly in some of your minds, BYU is featured as high as number 10 in one way too early top 25. They're currently number 13 in the Athletics way too early top 25, and they're given the 14th best odds to win the 2025 national championship according to FanDuel.
This is Mark Pope actually looking at this graphic. That's the face.
Yahoo Sports has him at 20. Fox Sports 21. Sports Illustrated 25.
Well.
Are you
Sports Illustrated still going, huh?
Are you buying the hype for BYU men's basketball going into next season?
Why not? BYU's got up to 8 guys returning, and that's without Jackson Robinson, right? You're bringing in your highest signee ever at 28 in Colin Chandler from ESPN's top 100. Certainly you lose some guys. And Spencer Johnson and Marcus Adams Jr. and probably Jackson Robinson. But, yeah, you're bringing in Chandler. You're bringing in Isaac Davis. Dawson Baker is going to play. You're going to have a healthy Ali Khalifa. Hopefully he gets the offseason knee surgery that he requires and gets ready to go. I would say why not, because BYU brings back enough guys and showed that they can compete and compete well in the Big 12. if you operate, and I've said many times this, that BYU does operate better from a no one believes in us standpoint, well, that's a negative if you're being hyped up in that case. But at some point, you can respond positively to the hype. So I say why not, man? I think some of the issues that BYU had will be rectified in different ways. For example, only one real ball handler on the team. You're going to get two more dudes in Colin Chandler and Dawson Baker who can help in that regard as combo guards to help with the combo guard slash point guard that is Dallin Hall. You lose 14 points a game in Jackson, but let's not act like it was 20 or 25 points a game. Like 14 is replaceable by a couple of guys. We don't know what the portal is going to look like in terms of people who may want to leave and or come in. Reminder, BYU didn't play with 13 scholarshiped players last year. They played with 12.
Is BYU an attractive option for a high-level transfer portal player?
Hopefully, but I don't know that BYU is going to attract high-level transfer portal players because they're not shelling out the NIL to get those kind of guys. Guys like Dawson Baker and Ali Khalifa are mid-level in terms of production slash what they ask of NIL. BYU is trying to get more competitive in that space, Spence, but I don't think BYU will ever attract a high-level guy because they're not willing to shell out that amount of money. Right. Well, yeah, Colin Chandler. I'm talking from the portal, though, not out of high school.
Okay.
Also, Colin is a member of the church. Like, that's your recruiting advantage. The portal guy that isn't a member, Dawson was a member. Like, Ali Khalifa was at Charlotte. Put up unique numbers, but didn't blow your mind, right? BYU is a unique place. We're not getting the high-level transfer portal guys, I don't think.
Yeah.
High-level. I'm talking so-and-so at a big school put up 17 a game at a big school.
Sure.
I'm not talking 14 at LMU. I'm talking 17 in the Big East or the Big 12 or the ACC or something.
Listen, BYU's in a great position.
Great position.
Yeah. With the
I'm just talking real here.
With the core that they bring back again. And it's not even a guarantee that BYU would get the high-level guys that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. There's no guarantee
of
that either.
See Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, if Duke enters the convo, BYU's not winning that recruiting battle.
So
not many are against Duke.
BYU, with their highest recruit ever in Colin Chandler by metrics, he joins a team that is now projected. And again, 14th best odds to win the national championship. Like, that is wild.
Sorry, what? We just want to win a first-round game here, let alone
six. Seriously, BYU wants to get to the second round for the first time since Jimmer Fredette played in 2011.
How about a draft pick since Jimmer? That could be Jackson.
Maybe it's Jackson Robinson.
By the way,
the tide is shifting, perhaps.
There are two fewer NBA draft picks this year, by the way. Two teams have forfeited their picks.
That much tougher to get picked into the NBA. Yeah,
super random, right?
All right, so the 14th best odds.
Why?
Yeah, interestingly enough, those are the fifth best odds in the Big 12.
Taking fifth again? Let's go.
Okay. Kansas and Houston and Arizona and Baylor.
Oh,
and
by the way, Arizona, hi.
Then there are BYU and Iowa State who are tied for 14th.
Not bad to be with Iowa State.
No,
it was a two-seed and nearly won the regular season title.
Wild.
Pretty good.
Now, we have spoken at length so often about how valuable it is to have a returning core of experience. And even if BYU, how nice is it that even if BYU loses a talent like Jackson Robinson, we sit here and say, okay, it's all right. BYU brings back a ton of production.
Yep.
Ton of production. And can BYU get some guys healthy? Can Dawson Baker take over the void that Spencer Johnson leaves? We think, and he will alleviate some of the ball handling concerns.
Different roles, but yeah.
Right? So
Colin Chandler is more of your Spencer Johnson replacement to me. Dawson Baker is more of now we have a second point guard. Like who we were expecting.
I would love two ball handlers on the floor at the same time with Dallin Hall and Dawson Baker at
times. You'll see that at times.
Yeah, for sure. So I love that the core is back. BYU has experienced things together. They have gone through really, really intense frustrations in the West Coast Conference. Now they've experienced some success in the Big 12. But they're dealing with the frustration, that awful dessert of the NCAA tournament that they can dwell on and use it as motivation and just see what they can do. But I mean, I'm a little surprised. Are you not a little surprised? I'm a little surprised that BYU is as high as they are in some polls. I thought maybe they'd be like a fringe top 25 team. We're seeing them as high as number 10, number 13, number 14.
This goes to show that a first-round loss does not negatively affect you as much as the perception of what you could become next year. It's more about what BYU did the entire season.
And look at KenPom. BYU finishes number 18 in KenPom this season.
16 today.
Oh, they jumped up two spots?
They jumped up two spots.
That's unbelievable.
So, BYU is a good team, and they had good metrics, and they had a disappointing finish, but it doesn't mean it was a disappointing year. It is wild to see like 10 though from USA Today. I'm like 10. Like BYU doesn't have the sort of recruiting chops against a lot of those teams. But like I would put BYU in the 20 to 25 range going into next year.
That's kind of what
I thought. Which is where they finished and where they were and where they probably are, given if you lose Jax and you add Colin Chandler, like, okay, there's a guy that you expect to sort of have a productive freshman year. Which, by the way, I've said it a couple times. I'll say it again. I'll keep saying it. I'm not going to expect Colin Chandler to come out and, like, score 15 a game out of the gate.
Now give him time.
Off a mish. He's still on his mission in London as we speak. So even if he got home in the next couple of weeks, which I can't remember when he gets home, but I think it's soonish in the next month or two, he's going to have 4 or 5 months before the season.
Yeah, give him time.
It takes a long time.
Sure, ask Dallin Hall about that. Ask Richie Saunders about that.
Yeah, it takes a minute. Those guys really excel as sophomores, right? Colin is exceptional in terms of where he sits in the signing rankings and whatnot and the type of player he is. Super exciting, though. And Isaac Davis could be a baller. And Dawson Baker, we expect to be healthy and super able to help this BYU offense continue to do what they do, but provide different skill sets. Like Dawson Baker gives you a one-on-one ball handler that BYU didn't really have. BYU relied on pick and roll more at times.
I love that Dallin Hall is going to have some help.
I like catch and shoot guys, but when Duquesne and Texas Tech are up in your grill, can one guy make a play to create an opening and get an odd man rush, which is the goal of every offense, is to get a two-on-one, a three-on-two, and then you get an open shot. So, I'm stoked. Am I, like, buying into it 100%? I'm not buying into number 10, but I'm buying into, like, yeah, BYU should be a top 25 preseason team. They don't lose a ton. They return a lot. They add some nice pieces. That's the formula for preseason prognostications.
Yes, yes. I'm buying into the idea that BYU can be a top 6 or 7 Big 12 team, even though the conference is expanding to 16 teams. Like, I feel like BYU, because they return essentially what they were last year.
If they replicate it, yes. There's no guarantee that it's the same.
The Marriott Center is not all of a sudden going to become easier to play in for opponents.
Right. What you have to do is you have to be as efficient as you were last year. You have to win the games you won last year. You have to also lose the game.
No bad losses. BYU had zero bad losses.
I am up for the idea that BYU could be better than last year. They could also be worse. Like, there's that option as well. But, if BYU kind of builds on what they had this year and uses the motivation of the frustration of the end of the year, they could maybe be better. What if Colin Chandler is amazing and then he's one and done? Like, that would be the best. If Colin Chandler was so good and BYU made a run that he was one and done, that'd be amazing.
Hey, two and done when Dallin Hall is a senior point guard and maybe there's another essentially core returning from something special that they do next year. I don't know. I'm getting greedy.
A core is nice for sure. And if you feel like you have a better shot at BYU, especially of core and experience equals better shot at being better. Yeah, absolutely. You don't necessarily need it though.
Yeah.
Like 2021 football, you lost a lot from 2020. You did retain some core, but you lost like 5 draft picks and like 7 to 10 dudes. Yet you were able to have a tremendous 21. So it doesn't always mean exactly what you think it means, but hey, we'll take the core returning. We'll take an influx of talent. Absolutely.
On that 21 squad, BYU still had 4 draft picks that will eventually go to the NFL.
The build of 18 and 19 of the struggle of 7 and 6 was tough.
Let me add this, and I need to clarify. When I said zero bad losses, according to the tournament sheet, BYU had zero team quad sheet, 3 and quad 4 losses. Yeah. And this quote, just marinate on this as we move into topic 2. The Cougars will have one of the best benches in college hoops. This is a dream scenario for Mark Pope. This is from The Athletic. He, Pope, has an old team with awesome chemistry, and he adds a guard, Colin Chandler, with pro potential. Why would Mark Pope leave, Jerem? Why would he leave?
Well, if it's like $7 million, something. Bench points were 5th in the country, 33 game. Really good.
Really good.
Topic 2, Alabama head coach Nate Oates came out with a statement saying he's staying in Alabama. Wasn't a denial, though. And Dan Hurley blew off the Kentucky rumors following the national championship. What would have to happen before you start to think that Mark Pope could legitimately leave BYU for the Kentucky job?
When Scott Drew and Billy Donovan and Bruce Pearl all turned down the job for Kentucky, then
those three,
I start to get concerned. Nate Oates just got a bump to $6.3 million per season. Calipari was making about 8.4, and I know, like, that's another $2 million, but Oates has got Alabama heading in the right direction, and he would owe Alabama $18 million if he leaves in the next 2 years. So, yeah, he's not going anywhere, which is why he said what he said. Dan Hurley is going to get a huge bonus this offseason. Like, UConn's going to sweeten the pot for him to stay for sure. He's won back-to-back national titles. He's not going anywhere. But if Scott Drew, who is making about five, maybe a hair over $5 million per year at Baylor and only has a $4 million buyout, if he's a guy that I think could absolutely end up at Kentucky, if he turns it down and then Billy Donovan decides to stay in the NBA with the Chicago Bulls, now I start to get a little bit concerned because Kentucky's high-level targets are all going by the wayside. They're staying with their respective teams. Like, who's if Kentucky's going to reach on somebody, I feel like they would reach on one of their own, which would be Mark Pope. You know, the son returns home to Lexington. So if Bruce Pearl, Billy Donovan, and Scott Drew all say, nope, staying where I'm staying, then I start to get a little bit concerned that Kentucky may, they may reach on Mark Pope and be like, look, we want you to come home, come lead this team, come work with no honor code and plenty of NIL money and no recruiting stipulations as it pertains to how tough it is to get into BYU. Just come to Kentucky and win basketball games. That's when I would get concerned. Is maybe that's a little bit, I don't know, too reactionary to just three coaches turning it down, but what would you add to that before you start to think, okay, maybe this could actually happen?
I'm not worried at all. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just think that Kentucky, like, if Mark had won a game or two in the tourney, he would be a more viable candidate. That Kentucky...
Without question.
Kentucky does it probably... Like, obviously, Mark has a great resume. Mark's awesome. We love Mark. He's fantastic. It's awesome that he's at BYU. We're enjoying this time.
I don't want him to leave.
Yeah, I don't either. But I just think there are other candidates that are probably more proven in the NCAA tournament that would be more attractive to Kentucky at this time. I think once Mark has a run in the tourney of at least a game or two, now his viability as a candidate increases tremendously. BYU does not have a recent history of winning in the tournament. Like, Dave Rose was courted by Oklahoma after Jimmer Fredette, and then Lon Kruger got that job from UNLV, not Dave. Dave chose to stay here. BYU did some things, sweetened the pot, paid him more, and he stayed, right? It's natural to have this. And I'm sure Mark's getting courted by other programs. But now that BYU's in the Big 12, like, it's got to be an opportunity that makes more sense because you're in the best basketball league in America. Still feel that way even after the tourney. The best regular season basketball conference in America. Whatever. I'm not worried at right now, no.
It's not beyond Kentucky to bring one of the Patinos back either. Like, right. Rick Pitino's turning around St. John's, wouldn't that be something? That story arc, like, bring him back. Or his son Richard, who's doing great stuff in New Mexico.
Yeah.
But maybe they reach with the younger Pitino. I don't know. I'm telling you, like, I would start to become a little bit concerned if those three-level, high-level guys all said no.
It's like, not, okay. Obviously, as NBA, like, playing in the NBA and having success at a program like BYU, yeah, those are all great things. I'm not saying he's, like, not a candidate. I just think there are probably a longer list of candidates who have gone to or won in the tourney or have some connection that could be attractive as well.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned.
I had some excessive Warriors texting me last night. Well, who, if he leaves, then who's out there? It's not like the pool's big. And there's a lot of truth in that. It's like, okay, Alex Jensen, an assistant coach for the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Madsen at Cal, Chris Burgess over at Utah, Nick Robinson, like Barrett Peary, Stan Johnson. Like, it's about six guys. Like, the pool is not long. And so, but I'm not ready to worry yet. Okay, I feel like Kentucky's going to go get somebody that has national championship pedigree.
It's Kentucky. It's not going to be a problem. It's Kentucky. You wave that amount of Benjamins in front of people, they come flocking.
Hey, Mark Pope and BYU have some business to take care of in the tournament next year. Win a game, maybe get to a Sweet 16.
To a Sweet 16,
and
there'll be lots of opportunities.
Our question of the day: BYU men's basketball has been included in multiple way too early top 25 polls. We have documented all of them for you, that at least we know of. Are you buying into the hype of the Cougars being a preseason top 25 team? for next season.
Why not? Why wouldn't BYU be top 25? I want to hear those answers.
Yeah, how much does the departure potentially, still, it's not even a real thing yet, of Jackson Robinson impact what BYU brings back? At DFW underscore Cougar on X answers, no, I'm not buying into it. I like this team better with the chip on their shoulder and something to prove. Also, there will be growing pains with the young talent coming in. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Growing pains. With Colin Chandler, perhaps? But the thing is, the nice thing is, he has the core of eight returning players to help usher him in.
And we'll see what the portal, you know, gives and takes away. We'll see. But no, I think
what are BYU growing pains when the core is back?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Is the non-conference tougher so you go 9-4 instead of 12-1? Like, what is that? I don't know. We'll see, man. Hey, we're going to be in Dallas, speaking of DFW, on Saturday, April 27th. It's going to be fun. We'll do a one-hour show there. Join us 12 Eastern on Saturday, April 27th, live from Dallas.
Up next is former BYU basketball big man Eric Mika buying into the Cougars preseason top 25 hype. He was a high-level guy out of high school, right around Colin Chandler.
I heard that.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
Time's wet. Every time I shoot my shot, it's wet. Every time I shoot my shot, it's wet. Every time I shoot my shot, it's wet.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Joining us now, currently from Florida, to talk some BYU basketball is former Cougar standout Eric Mika. And Eric, we need to begin by clearing something up with as it pertains to metrics and where you were in terms of stars and like overall prospect coming out of high school.
Apparently you were pretty good in high school.
You were number 28 and Colin Chandler is number 28. So you two are tied, right? This is accurate information that I'm putting out there?
I can't speak for Colin. I don't know where he finished, but I know for me, I was number 28 by the end of my recruitment and the end of my senior year. So I think we're tied. I've heard a lot of non-real facts out there saying that he surpassed me. I don't think that's
fake news. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's actually true.
Okay, I'm looking at Colin right now. 32nd in the ESPN Top 100.
What's that?
Colin Chandler, 32nd, and you're the highest rated recruit in BYU history. We take it back.
Colin number 32.
Oh, you can't see me. I'm celebrating. My hands are in the air.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Hey,
now, in all seriousness, what's that like when you are such a highly touted product like that? And your path is a little bit different than Colin because he went right on a mission, and so he'll start at BYU as a freshman after his mission. You played, then left, and then came back. So what's it like going through that process of coming back as a return missionary and having just massive expectations on your shoulders?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I can't really speak to completely how it's going to be like for Colin because, yes, he went on a mission first, but also just the landscape of college basketball right now is so different from when I was leaving high school, you know, with NIL, with the transfer portal, with the platform that these guys have on social media and with TV rights and deals, like it's completely different. You know, I feel like coming out of high school, I didn't really understand the gravity of the stars that I have, of the recruitment that I had, of the, you know, the ranking that I had. You know, because it wasn't like it is today. You know, it wasn't, oh, you're a top 40 guy. You know, that means you could potentially be drafted in you know, 14 months or whatever it is from high school to the draft the following year. You know, now everybody knows everything about everyone that's coming out of high school. And so, yeah, I did feel some pressure. I felt some expectations were definitely kind of thrust upon me from the beginning. But I don't know. I was just a kid that was hooping, you know. There wasn't these crazy expectations of you know, committing to a certain path and a certain career, which is the NBA, from, you know, before I even really knew what I wanted in life. So I do think it's hard to comment on that, but for sure he's going to have a lot of expectations. He's going to have some pressure. But I also know Colin, and I know he's a good kid and a very hard worker, and also very capable of delivering on those expectations. He's a great player. So I think he's going to be fine. I think he's just excited to get home and get into shape. That's a hard process in and of itself. So once he gets that ball rolling, I know he's going to be stoked.
It's going to be fun to watch him this upcoming year. Regarding BYU and preseason hype, today a lot of way too early top 25s have come out after the national championship game. BYU's in all of these. They're essentially consensus as high as 10, as low as 25. Are you buying the hype that BYU should be a top 25 team going into next year, given that they finished as such in the AP poll going into Selection Sunday?
Yeah, I think I buy the hype. I mean, you can't define a season by, one game, and that's what I think a lot of people are doing with the early exit from the NCAA tournament. But it was the NCAA tournament, and they had a good seed, and they were ranked all year, and they were turning a lot of minutes, a lot of starters, a lot of production. So, like, why wouldn't they? And these way too early top 25s are bogus anyway. So I don't know why anyone would argue against it. I like the continuity or the continuation, the continuity, the yes, like I said, there's the one game, but there was so many good things to take from this season and so much momentum that I don't see why we wouldn't perform at a high level going into next year.
So the big question mark for BYU this offseason, Eric, is what is going to happen with Jackson Robinson? Is he going to come back for one more go, or is he going to enter the NBA draft? He's projected everywhere from mid-second round to late second round. Again, you've gone through these processes. You have been an NBA draft prospect. You've been in the NBA for a little bit. You've been with the G League. What advice would you offer to Jackson as he contemplates a huge decision?
Yeah, again, a very different landscape from when I did it. I've heard rumors of crazy amounts of numbers being thrown at him, whether they're true or not. There's got to be some truth to it, right? They wouldn't just be totally made up and put out into the world for no reason. So I do think he has options to make really good money if he stays in college, and I think he's going to be a very good pro. So that's what makes the decision tough, I think, for him is either way he's going to be successful. I think there's a lot of different paths to make it there. There's a lot of ways to make money before you get there. I think, again, the landscape being what it is and the many different routes that one can take, I think he should absolutely test the waters. I don't know why he wouldn't. They built it so that you can, and then you can, retain your eligibility and come back. So I think he should absolutely do that because you get into these workouts. I did 16 pre-draft workouts, so those are they're exhausting. You're flying over all over the country. You're pitted against five other guys that are trying to rip your jersey off your back. You're all trying to get the same thing, so you get a real feel for, okay, do I have a chance? Am I built for this, or do I need to go back and work on a couple things? So I think he should absolutely test the waters. He should do those workouts. He should get as much feedback as possible from the people making these decisions, from general managers and coaches. From all these people sitting in and watching these workouts, their gut instinct is going to tell them, yes or no if he's going to make it right now or if it's going to be in a year. So my recommendation is do that. Absolutely test the waters and whatever's best for him and his family, he's got to go with that. It's going to be tough. One decision, the one that doesn't get made is it's going to be tough for that half of whoever's cheering for that decision.
You are a guy who has played in the NBA. You played a lot in the G League. How do you see him fitting as a professional?
Yeah, I actually, when we were at the Winter Showcase in Orlando this year, I talked to a couple scouts, LJ Rose actually being one of them,
Nice.
who was my teammate at BYU, and now he's with Houston. I talked to Austin Ainge with the Celtics, and we caught up on a couple different things, and then I actually brought Jackson up to kind of pick their brain, and I remember one thing that LJ said. He was like, "Well, if he keeps making shots, it makes his life and it makes decision makers' lives a lot easier." So I see him fitting in with exactly what he's done in college. That's why he's getting the attention that he has, is he makes shots. You know, he He spreads the floor. He knows exactly what his role is. He knows what it will be at the next level, and that's what makes it translate. You know, he's got great frame, great size and length, and he makes shots. You know, so I see him fitting in basically anywhere you put him. Obviously, he's got to get a little bit stronger. You know, defense is imperative, and everybody needs to get better at their defense once they, you know, get to the big leagues, and he'll work on that as well. But I think he can be a really excellent 3-and-D guy from very early on.
Eric Mika is with us on BYU Sports Nation. And Eric, you experienced the NCAA tournament as a freshman when, unfortunately, you got to that game against Oregon with no Kyle Collinsworth because he had torn his ACL in the West Coast Conference tournament. But still, you went through that experience and the emotions and the pressure. And then you watch BYU this year get upset by Duquesne, and after just a remarkable season for so many reasons, they left with this bad aftertaste. So knowing that, what advice would you give to BYU in terms of where you feel like they need to improve to get better so that they are ready for the next pressure-packed NCAA tournament opportunity?
Yeah, I would just urge the guys, and I'm sure I'll be in the gym with them this summer, and so I can tell them face to face in case they're not watching this morning. But I would just say to make sure that, yes, recognize that there's a bitter taste. And I just hate that there's so much focus on this loss. You never want to finish the season with the loss, but only two teams, you know, the winner of the NIT and the winner of the you know, the Big Dance are the only two teams that finish with a win. Yeah. So, you know, you want to advance, you want to get one or two wins, but to make sure that they also remember all the good that they did, because there are improvements needed. There's things that every single guy needs to work on, but they already know those. Those are, you know, these are high level, high achieving athletes. They know all season long, and they know the second it's over what they need to work on to get to the next level. If they don't know it themselves, their coaches have already had multiple meetings with them, and they're working on it with them as well. So they know what they need to work on to bring their individual games to the next level, to bring their game as a team, as a collective, to the next level. I would just urge them to also remember what got them there, what brought them so much success, you know, that chip on their shoulder that they had, the contributions that each of them made, and the winning plays that each of them made in the various games when they stepped up, to make sure that they remember that and embrace those parts and cultivate, you know, those skills as well, you know. So They know what they need to work on, but I just hope they also remember what they're really good at, why they got to where they got, and how they need to bring that again next year.
They're not going to be picked second to last. We know that going into next year, probably, you know, 6th, 7th, or 8th, yeah, in the Big 12. So they'll have to create that chip on their shoulder in some way. But we do want to ask you, what's next for you in your basketball career? I know you were banged up with the knee injury this year.
Yeah, knee, you know, we're just taking our time with the knee. It's end of this month is 6 months since I had that knee surgery, and it's still responding a little bit slower than we had hoped initially. So we're just giving it time. We're playing it by ear. Obviously, Ignite isn't going to be a destination that I'll be at for multiple years like we had hoped. But number one priority right now is just, you know, being at home with the family, resting, and getting this knee healthy, and we'll go from there. But the options are kind of anything and everything. They're all over the board, including some ideas we're having outside of basketball as well. So yeah, we're just gonna let you know when we know.
Well, you're doing some work outside of basketball already with your podcast. It's called Now for Later, and it's available on all the major podcast platforms. So how are things progressing with your podcast as you continue on with that venture?
Good. You know, it's been a lot of fun. I truly enjoy doing it. Right now I'm host, I'm editor, I'm producer. So I do everything, which is a lot of work, but to me, it's worth it. They're great conversations with incredible guests. We had, today we had an episode that just came out with Carmelita Jeter, who's a gold medalist, track and field gold medalist from 2012. She won the 4x100 with a couple of other track and field legends. And I mean, she was really, really great, big time. She's the UNLV head coach right now, so that's how I got connected with her. And the week before that, we had Justin Sua, who was a BYU baseball player, yeah, who's a mental performance coach for a lot of big-time athletes. And the week before that, we had Danny Ainge, you know. So just for me having these conversations is awesome. You know, like I finish an episode and I can't believe, you know, the gems that these legends of their respective fields are giving to me. So it's been a lot of fun.
It's called Now for Later. Eric Mika is the host. We appreciate you stepping outside of your A-list role there to hang out with us, Eric. All right, man. We'll talk to you again soon, brother. Best of luck on the podcast. Yeah. And please let us know what you're doing with your basketball career. Let us know when you decide.
What's that? I will. I'll let you know. I also want to just clarify for anyone watching, I'm only wearing red because this is my former team in France. They're playing in the Euro Cup final. So I'm trying to send them good vibes from the other part of the world. I would never wear red on a BYU. Well, just red in general, but I want to make sure that that's clear. I want to make sure that's clear when Mark Pope watches this so I don't get a text from him.
you got to rep your former teammates for sure. Well, the exception is allowed there. Eric, fine. Great to talk to you, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Eric.
See you guys.
All right, number 28. Number 28 recruit number 28, coming out of high school.
Colin Chandler, 32.
Colin Chandler got to as high as number 28.
And then maybe slid down.
Dropped a few spots. Yeah. Regardless, let's give the man his due credit. Eric Mika, the highest rated recruit.
I didn't know he was that good in high school. I hadn't heard that until right now. BYU baseball plays at Utah tonight. You can listen to it on BYU Radio at 8 Eastern time. Cook's trying to continue that great momentum from the series win at Texas.
Well, speaking of high-level prospects, Kingsley Suamataia continues to move up NFL draft big boards. But is he a first-round guy? Which publication thinks he is? That and more in Headlines and The Whip. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
If you so choose, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
It's all free, so just do it. Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Tuesday headlines.
Men's basketball was featured prominently in 6 way too early top 25 polls last night after the national championship game. As high as 10, as low as 25, but in all 6. How about that?
Hype machine is rolling. BYU offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia is the 22nd ranked prospect on Yahoo Sports Top 100 Big Board. That is 6th among all offensive tackles available. The NFL draft begins Thursday, April 25th. Will Kingsley have his name called on Thursday night in the first round?
That's the highest I've seen, 22, man. Baseball looks to build off a series win at Texas with a game at Utah tonight. Of course, you can listen to it on the home of the Cougs, BYU Radio at 8 East.
BYU softball also plays at Utah Valley tonight, working to snap a 3-game losing streak after the Cougars were swept in conference at UCF. BYU won the first meeting against the Wolverines earlier this season, 9-7 in Provo. Tonight's road game starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN+, if we can call it a road game.
How many Wolverines are in Utah is the question I have right now. Men's volleyball stays at number 6 in the ABCA poll after splitting road matches at USC last week. Cougars have a bye before playing as the 3 seed, already locked it in the MPSF tournament at USC next week.
Hey, beat the Trojans in the tournament. BYU women's golf currently in 7th place at the Texas Showdown with a combined team score of 9 over par. BYU's Alexa Udom is currently tied for 7th at 2 under par to lead the Cougars. Today's round will feature match play with BYU taking on Texas State.
And women's swim and dive head coach Sherry Scablin announces she is retiring after coaching at BYU for 37 years, including head coach the last 3 seasons.
37 years, unbelievable. Those are today's headlines. Now we whip it. The Cougar Whip Around presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Kingsley Suamataia, number 22 on Yahoo Sports Big Board, as we mentioned. Does this make you think he has a better shot at a first round pick?
It helps, but I'm gonna lean to the majority here, which is early to mid second round guy and probably the 7th or 8th offensive tackle off the board. The draft is funny. Like, when certain positions start to go fast, then that's where somebody like Kingsley can benefit. Like, if a bunch of offensive linemen are taken in the first 15 picks, it's like, oh man, this is good for Kingsley.
Would be like 4.
Yeah, we will see, but I like it for him, but I still lean toward him going probably early part of the second round.
I think it's safe to play it like gymnastics. You throw out the high and the low. Like, the rest of that is kind of your middle. Yeah. So yeah, this is the new high.
One of Kobe Bryant's 2009 NBA Finals jerseys, game-worn jersey, on auction right now with the bid currently at $1.4 million. $1.4!
Little Austin Powers action there.
What would be your most coveted jersey if you could go back and have any game-worn jersey in BYU history?
I would say like McMahon's Miracle Bowl jersey, but that thing's just like mesh and just old and weird.
Drake has a BYU jersey from the Miracle Bowl.
I'll go Jimmer Fredette's San Diego State 2011 home jersey. Maybe Ty Detmer's Miami jersey.
Nice.
Maybe Steve Young's Super Bowl winning jersey against the Chargers.
I want Danny Ainge's baby blue BYU basketball jersey that he wore when he hit the shot against Notre Dame in the Sweet 16.
That'd be awesome.
That would be the coveted
jersey. Baby blues.
The baby blue. That's number 22 one. From that game.
That would be awesome. Where is it? Where are these things?
I have no idea.
Probably in their houses. Yesterday, John Calipari declined to give comments to a Kentucky fan who asked him about taking the Arkansas job because he was busy walking his dog. What would your follow-up, and the dog was like on the side, he had a stroller, I don't know if the dog was in the stroller, what was going on, what would be your follow-up question after that?
Does the dog have a comment, John? I mean, like, it's amazing that news outlets are the way that they are, that they will take the time to find him and stake out his house, and he comes out to walk the dog, and they're like, hey, just let the man be for like 5 seconds. Like, I'm surprised he was as cordial as he was. Like, so my comment to him, I don't know if it'd be a question, probably just be like, I'm sorry, my boss made me do this. Don't hate me. Like, it's unbelievable. What would you ask him?
What kind of dog is it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to bug people like that.
Right? It's such a weird deal. Like, and I know it's a huge story, but he's clear. Why would he all of a sudden be like, you know what? I'm walking my dog.
Now's the time.
I think I'm going to reveal anything and everything. All for clicks, man. It's all for clicks. And they still got it. The station still got what they wanted.
It reminds
me. We found John Calipari.
He got it and he didn't say anything. It reminds me of the story my uncle told me about when one of his friends went to New York. He was in a cab and the cabbie just kept talking, but he basically said a really funny line, which was, the other day, a dog licked my hand and it warmed me. You don't see that kind of unconditional love in the world these days. The dog licked my hand and it warmed me. BYU softball, take it on UVU tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Get a win and it will warm us.
Yes.
Tonight on ESPN
will.
Plus.
In fact, softball and baseball, right? Beat Utah Valley and Utah.
Do it.
It's time for another Top 5 Tuesday, which means we're looking back at the top five road wins.
Hey.
Road win opportunities tonight for all these teams. But what are the top five in BYU's inaugural season in the Big 12? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Colin hammers that one high and deep to left. And the Cougs have a game-high 5-point lead.
Road Warriors is the phrase of the day when it comes to our Top 5 Tuesday. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. Top 5 Tuesday presented by eAssist Dental Health Foundation. Reminding you, dental cleanings are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org. Start us off, Jeremy, number 5.
Women's tennis at UCF. Number 45, BYU traveling to number 59, UCF. First Big 12 match ever. How about men's hoops and women's tennis at UCF getting their first Big 12 win?
That's how they started it.
BYU won 5-2. Singles wins from Huang, Kovic, Astle, Smith. Pair of doubles wins. The fifth straight win overall as well. And the first Big 12 win ever for women's tennis.
The number 4 road win in this inaugural Big 12 campaign happens thanks to BYU women's volleyball at TCU. The 16th-ranked Cougars traveled to Fort Worth. Final match of the regular season, sweeping TCU thanks to Aaron Livingston's 13 kills. Combined 16 kills from BYU's middle blockers Whitney McEwen, Larinus, and Mia Lee. BYU won 3 close sets to end the regular season with a 13-5 record in the Big 12. That was good for third in conference. And they beat a TCU team that ended the season ranked number 43 in the RPI.
That was 2 days after Thanksgiving, too, so they had to really dial it in after all the turkey.
It was a feast after the feast.
Indeed, Anchor Boy.
Yes.
Number three, baseball's series win at Texas over the weekend. Three-game series, BYU won two of them. BYU had lost six straight, Spence, walking into that series. Two wins, both by seven, five scores. Colin Reuter, four dingers in the series, including three in the series finale on Saturday.
Listen, anytime you beat Texas, it's great.
Always good.
Especially on the road.
Enjoy them now, because I don't know that we're going to have a lot of games against Texas when they go to the
right?
SEC.
And I say beating Texas matters a lot because it leads me to number two, BYU women's soccer, also in Austin against Texas. Cougars number six at the time, traveling to Austin, where the Longhorns were ranked number 14. Aaron Bailey scored the go-ahead goal for BYU in the 84th minute to give the Cougars a 3-2 road victory.
Boom.
Ellie Walbrook and Olivia Wade-Katoa scored BYU's first two goals. Texas, yeah, they ended up winning the Big 12 tournament, essentially on their home field. Earned a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, but BYU got them on the road in regular season conference play.
Yes, they did. And number one, I think you can guess it, men's hoops at Kansas. What a game, Spence. You were there. BYU just fell out of the AP top 25. BYU went to number 12 Kansas, who had won 19 straight home games, 67 straight home games against unranked teams, 82 straight home games when leading at the half. Cougars trailed by as many as 12, but Jackson Robinson and Dallin Hall each had 18 in a 76-68 win that helped BYU win the tiebreaker and get the 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament. Huge win at Kansas.
You know who didn't win at Kansas this year, even with all those injuries? Houston.
Anybody else.
Iowa State. Or anybody else.
Anybody else. That is one of the top wins in BYU program history.
Amazing. All right, that wraps up top five Tuesday road victories in Big 12 play.
Many more to come in BYU's Big 12 history. Let's go. Make sure you catch all the Deep Blues, all the games on demand, the shows on demand that you want to check out. BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
Still on the way, are you buying the hype that BYU men's basketball is indeed a top 25 team going into next season, or even top 10 according to one poll?
Whoa! Woo!
This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. BYU men's basketball has been included in multiple way too early top 25 polls. So because they're there, are you buying into the hype of the Cougars being a preseason top 25 team?
Why wouldn't they be a top 25 team?
They should be. The core is back.
They should be.
The core is back. Jay Floyd on X says easily buying into the hype. Next year's team is likely to be better than this year's team, which is really saying something.
That's the hope. I think that you have a lot of talent on that team next year, which is super exciting. Like we mentioned, Colin Chandler, Isaac Davis, a healthy Dawson Baker, hopefully a healthier Ali Khalifa, more experienced group as a whole. Let's go, man. Let's see if BYU can't be like top 7 in the Big 12 out of the 16 teams. Arizona's certainly going to occupy one of those top 2 or 3 spots, you'd think. Kansas kind of had an off year. You'd think they'd be up there past BYU. This year was awesome that BYU was tied for 5th. Let's go, man. It'll be fun to watch. It'll be a fun offseason to see what happens with the program.
Kansas is going to look probably like an entirely different team. I guarantee Bill Self will be very busy at work in the transfer portal.
They've already got a couple of commits.
Yeah, like it's going to be a different squad for sure. SC McClear on Instagram answers, buying into the hype will depend a lot if Pope is still in Provo. All right.
I don't see him leaving.
And it's going to take a lot for that Kentucky job to be open for Mark Pope.
Or another one.
Like, yeah. But what else? What else would be? I don't know. What else is enticing right now, more so than BYU and what you bring back? Right now. Like, what's even open right now? Louisville's taken. Kentucky is in the works. Yeah. Like, Michigan's gone. Like, I don't know. Like, he is ambitious and wants a high profile job. So outside of Kentucky, if it doesn't go to Kentucky, like, come to BYU. Take BYU to the promised land of the Sweet 16 for just the third time
The promised
time
land, a.k.a. the second round.
Come on! Or the second round!
Let's go to the second round.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, comes from Brian Fuss on X, who answers, why not? Doesn't mean anything but good off-season talk.
Sure.
Might help lure some transfer portal guys, keep current players from going to the transfer portal, help get an assistant or two, and helps validate what Coach Pope is building in Provo. Though as a fan, I like flying under the radar. Well, how about this? BYU is going to be picked probably to finish sixth in the Big 12, so just use that. It's like, oh,
they didn't think we were top five.
They disrespect it.
After last year, we finished fifth. We should have been in the top five.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jerry Scablin calling it quits after 37 years, retiring, an amazing run. Longtime assistant, last 3 years as the head coach of the women's swimming team. Congratulations, you're on a great career.
Wow, almost four decades. Our thanks to today's guest, Eric Mika.
Sorry, Dennis, no time.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer, and a final shout-out to Elder Brian K. Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow in Studio B. Go Cougs.
Good talk, dude.